chorus. Osiris, Horus, Isis, Osiris, Horus, Isis, Osiris, Horus, Isis, Osiris, Horus.
Captain Kangaroo when we come on with that. But, you know, there must be something soothing about that as well. In this world, to have a nice, calm male and a nice, well, a little not-so-calm female just saying hello to each other every week, same time, same place. It's like ritual.
Right. And we need ritual to understand our relationship to the universe.
We certainly do. Speaking of which, the song that we opened with tonight was a very, very special, amazing song. And Matt, I know you how you love stories. Our guest tonight is Susan Hale, and she's a specialist at singing in sacred places. And she has written a book about this, Sacred Sounds, Sacred Places. Or is it Sacred Places, Sacred Sounds? But we'll be bringing her in a few minutes. The reason I played this song is that this is a song that was given to me on our way to Egypt, a busload of people with the Psychoacoustics Institute. We were doing a sound healing tour to Egypt. And one of the fellows on the bus, his name is Tim from Marin County, California, he looked at me and said, "You are the lady in my dream." I said, "What?" He said, "I dreamed of you 6 months ago," and he said, "Do you sing?" I said, "Yes," and he said, "I was given a song for you." So the song that you just heard on the radio to open the program is a song that Timothy sang to me. Now this gets even stranger.
This is the Isis and Osiris
Isis
chant.
Isis and Osiris chant, correct. So when we went to Egypt, and I did my singing, I did everything I was supposed to do according to the books to have illumination, and I was able to take in a lot of light and to go into a severe bliss state for 5 hours. What song did I start singing automatically? But the song that Timothy had given me. So that song seemed to be something special that was given to me to carry, and it wasn't for another 6 months that I started singing it in public. 6 months later, I put it on the CD. And I realized that that song is about bringing the as above, so below, the male divine energy from above and the female energy from below. So I called it the Isis Osiris chant. And so that's a story for you, Matt.
Thank you.
I think it was the perfect thing to open our program tonight, that we'll be having Susan Hale again, a very lovely woman who has traveled around the world singing at sacred places.
Kind of reminds me of Paul Horn, because Paul has played flute in the pyramids of Egypt and in the Taj Mahal.
Yes, I've heard like that he made a fabulous CD. Do you know the name of that CD?
I think it was just like the one from the Taj Mahal. It was just called Taj Mahal. And he got permission, which I don't think you can get anymore, to go into the Taj Mahal and just play in the inner chamber where the two tombs are. And I remember reading on the liner notes that if you really listen about something like 18 minutes into it, listen closely, and you'll hear the mosquito that landed on Paul's flute.
Oh, wow.
And you hear the little...
He's quite the soulful musician. Do you know, maybe some of our listeners tonight would know the name of that CD. I would love for you to call our station. And our station number is...
It's on the website. If you're
on
listening
the
to this show,
yeah,
if
look
you're
right
listening,
there.
You've got to be looking at the website.
Yeah. Matt, let's give our station ID.
Oh, who are we? Yes. Oh, yeah, you're listening to Live from Ordinary Miracles.
I love that title.
It's like Saturday night.
Live from Ordinary Miracles. And sometimes just getting here is a miracle.
Right.
Matt told me we usually say, what's the worst thing that happened to us today and the best thing? And tonight when we checked in, we've had a little rear-ender.
I had a tiny rear-ender, but the kid was honest. At least he seemed honest.
Okay, so you got everything all straightened out.
Yeah, so far.
Well, Matt Kramer, I'm looking right at Matt Kramer here. I am Jan Sircone, and we are doing a sound healing radio program. And in a minute, we'll talk about the programs that we do. But I want to tell you, we always say the best thing and worst thing, and I had a wonderful thing happen today. I decided to put up a real Christmas tree. I know we had the tree situation, but bringing in this tree and having that smell and putting the lights on it, and my daughter and her boyfriend traveled cross-country on a train from New York, and they were there with me tonight to put this up. The boyfriend cooked dinner and cleaned up. And it was just the most joyful experience. So far, he's a keeper. Yeah. My daughter and I were just giggling. That he was. I looked at him and I said, a woman's work is never done. I don't know if that was the right thing to say to a new boyfriend, but we put all of our family ornaments up with all the kids' pictures on when they were babies. But the fun part is, Mannheim Steamroller has that fabulous CD. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And since my daughter Katie was 2 years old, when we put that on, she would run in her little pajama sleepers and run up over the couch, over every chair. Now, she's 23 years old. She had her black boots on, tights, and a mini skirt, started from the garage and said, Mom, crank it up. We put the music on so loud, and she comes raring into the front room, just about kills herself, jumping up on the couch, pillows everywhere, the tree's almost knocked over, and I just wish I had a camera. It just was a joyful, joyful moment. Now, that was the good news. The bad news is because I usually use a fake tree with all the lights on, we didn't have enough lights, so our tree is just kind of half-lit.
Now, is this a tree you can replant?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
No, but they had already cut it.
All right.
And I had nothing to do with cutting this tree. I went to Lucky's. It was already cut. I bought this tree.
It's your lucky tree. Okay.
So it was a fabulous that's what Christmas is about. And my other two children weren't there, so I called them on the phone, and I said, hear that music? You know what we're doing, and you know what your sister's up to. So that was joyful.
Do any of them listen to the show?
I hope they are. Hi, Chris. Hi, Kelly.
Okay. Let's see, what was my best thing today? Well, my wife and my housemate and I went to Sears, and we got a new TV and a new dishwasher.
Oh, you are just too excited.
Mr. Domestic here. Actually, this thing about our community, I live in a co-housing community. There's 30 families, and mm-hmm. we built this area together. It's called Frog Song Co-Housing. And lately, you know, we have 3 to 4 meals a week together, those who want to, and we've been having 60, like up to 60 people showing up for dinner. And two of our residents here are from Fiji. Last night they made 3 different kinds of curry, along with other delicious island delights, and just the community that's here. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a Christmas Day dinner. And,
oh, my.
And so just enjoying our community.
Every time I come over here, I get the sense that this is the way to live. People together in sharing, and I believe this is the way of the future. This is what we're
Well, it was the way of the past. It was, you know, it was the village that raised the kids. That's mm-hmm. kind of what we have here.
Mm-hmm. It's the real thing.
Now, for those of you that are new, hopefully we keep our kind of our self-reporting here to a concise minimum for those that have heard it before. But Jan and I are both in the field of using sound for healing. I do something called voice mapping. And the frequencies of the human voice contain more information than you realize. And when those frequencies are fed back to you in a biofeedback process, it's very helpful for emotional healing and emotional release. That's a small taste of what I do. And if you go to mattkramer.com, mattkramer.com, click on the voice mapping banner and you can learn a lot more about voice mapping. And now I'll turn it over to Jan, who does voice bio.
Great. Thank you, Matt. Sounds like an infomercial.
Yes.
but it is important. The work that we're doing, I believe, is a part of the energy medicine of the future, that you can rebalance yourself through frequencies and vibrations, even prevention-wise. I've had a very interesting... I even had a chance to go speak at CIIS with Sylvie Nakash's fabulous sound healing program here in San Francisco about music for the dying. We have a caller.
That might be call waiting.
Hello?
Yeah, that was call waiting.
Okay.
Let's go on to voicemail.
All right.
This is the excitement of live internet radio, folks.
Yeah. We're right here in the store in downtown Cotati, California. So I haven't had a very exciting week with lots of sound journeys and voice bios. I was over at that Alternative Health Fair the other day and got to meet many amazing people. My voice bio, your voice shows the frequencies of your body, and I can plot those in a graph and correlate that to your health. I don't use it for diagnosis. I use it more as an energy balancing, that, for instance, if you're low in the C note, chances are your thyroid could be low, and you can actually vibrate that back into your body through singing, and that's my joy, bringing music and toning into the body, and now I can actually prove that it's healing.
So speaking of toning...
Shall we?
We shall.
Susan, hello.
Hello,
You're here. Great.
Hi.
From Georgia.
Yes, I'm in Peachtree City, Georgia. It's after midnight here.
Yeah, you stayed awake for us.
Yes, I did.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's so fun to hear your voice again.
Yeah, it's wonderful to hear yours, too.
Susan and I got to officially meet at the World Sound Healing Conference in Santa Fe in November. Right, Susan?
Yes, and one of the interesting things is that I wasn't even sure I was going to go to the conference, but I had a psychic reading, and the psychic said, oh, yes, the way is going to open up for you to go. And he said, and you're going to be singing there. And presenters, and when I met you, Jan, you came up and said, I've been guided to ask you to sing with me in my presentation.
Yes. Actually, Spirit said, Susan Hale will be singing with you on your presentation.
More of a directive then.
And you know, Susan, people mentioned that when they came into the room, even though they were a little bit late, just hearing us sing, they knew they were in the right place.
Mm.
They immediately felt held like in a cloud of goddess energy. So I just want to mention that to you. I think Matt has a question here.
Well, my question is, Susan, for our listening audience who has yet to meet you, what would you like them to know about you?
Well, what I like them to know about me, all you listeners out there, first of all, I used to live in Santa Rosa. I went to school at California, Sonoma State. That's very close to Cotati.
You were my neighbor, yeah.
Yeah. And I've been on a journey. I'm actually still kind of on my journey. I wrote a book that I spent 11 years researching and writing called Sacred Space, Sacred Sound, The Acoustic Mysteries of Holy Places. And as the book was coming out in July, I knew that I needed to do somewhat of a book tour. But I also was very called to go back to France at Chartres Cathedral, where the book began, and several other holy places that I had sung it, to kind of listen for next instructions. Mm-hmm. So Spirit had a very interesting assignment for me. They said, sell everything except for about 48 boxes, sell your car, and get on the road. And I've been on the road for 8 months now. And I've just landed in Peachtree City, Georgia. New friend that I met invited me to come and stay with her for a couple of months on my move to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a tiny speck of this 11-year journey.
Journey.
In this travel, you must have some wonderful stories to tell.
Yes, I do. Is there a place you'd like to hear about?
Well, what you would say is one of your more significant experiences?
Well, really, I have to say Chartres Cathedral. That's really where my book began.
Which cathedral?
Chartres.
That's
in France,
my favorite.
Just outside of Paris. I had a vision in my heart. My ex-husband was doing some body work on me, and I had a vision that I saw a medieval crypt in the bottom of a cathedral where the crypts are, and there was a knight and a lady entombed. Mm. And I went closer to them with a torch in my hand, and the lady sprang to life and started speaking French.
Mm-hmm.
And my comprehension of French is petit peu, which means very little. And finally she said something that I could understand in English, and she said, follow the Lady of Roses and follow her music.
Aha, the Lady of Roses. Would that
the Lady of Roses. And somehow, as I listened to that, the guidance that I got was, you need to go sing at Chartres Cathedral where there is a Black Madonna.
Yes.
And that's where I went first. And it took me quite a while to get there, actually, 2 years after I had the vision. I was able to go there and sing, and in singing, I got the instructions to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was recently back at Chartres for a whole week, and I was there during Pentecost, where there were 2,000 pilgrims from all over France,
mm-hmm,
arriving by foot, carrying banners. Some of them were barefoot. They were singing songs to Mary.
Mm-hmm.
They were even singing a song that I knew, Jubilate Deo, Jubilate Deo, Hallelujah. So I began to sing along with them. And every moment in that cathedral was a miracle.
Yes.
There was so much singing that happened around me that I witnessed. I heard two East Indian women who were praying with their mala beads, doing Sanskrit chanting right after Mass.
When you were there, was there a gentleman on the front porch who seemingly was collecting coins, but in fact seems to be one of the secret keepers? There was a fellow there who I met who seemed to have different amazing little factoids about things there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall that gentleman?
I don't recall that particular gentleman. There were a lot of people outside the cathedral. Mm-hmm. I didn't really talk to any of them. But
maybe he just evaporated into a mist after I left.
He could have been there for you. I mean, I think that we have these people that surface when we need them.
Which Black Madonna were you most drawn to, or did you work with, both the upstairs or the downstairs?
Both. The deepest experience I had was in the crypt,
mm-hmm.
and singing to the Black Madonna in the crypt. And I was able, I write about this in my book, I was able to be in the crypt alone with two other people.
Oh, my.
And I was there for an hour, mm-hmm. and got to tone and heard the harmonics of my voice, mm-hmm. of an Alleluia echo from where the Black Madonna is, mm-hmm. from the back of the crypt.
Mm-hmm.
When did your book come out?
It came out this July, so it's still very recent.
Are you still doing book tours?
Pardon?
Are you doing any book tours?
I actually have just finished several months of book tours. I was in New York City. I met George Gershwin's son, came to one of my book signings at Quest Bookstore, and Quest is the publisher of my book.
Mm-hmm.
And what would somebody learn or be able to do in reading your book?
Well, I think that they would find out a lot about the mysteries of the voice and how we have been singers since the earliest times, and we have a fundamental human need to sing and create sacred places. And you will learn a lot about how different spiritual traditions use sound. I have a chapter on India's sounds of creation.
Mm-hmm.
I have a chapter called Circling the Stupa. I have a chapter on the table as temple about Judaism. I also have, I lived in New Mexico for 23 years. I have a chapter called First People that talks a lot about Lakota song, Navajo song, rituals done at Taos Pueblo, where I used to live.
I have kind of a dual question coming up.
Okay.
In studying many cultures, which it appears that you have done, maybe many religions, are there any things you find in common with maybe surprisingly disparate cultures? And are there any interesting things you find unique to some particular cultures?
Well, one of the things that I found throughout my studies was the power of vowels.
Mm-hmm.
And that was there in ancient Egyptian culture, as well as in Judaism. The vowels were not written. They were considered so sacred, they are not written, so they're intoned.
Uh-huh.
And I also found that the sound M, the the humming,
very holy,
is a very, very, very powerful sound that actually, it's not just in different spiritual traditions, it's also in the animal kingdom. It's the sound of bonding when a mother gives birth.
Yes.
Cows and sheep do this M sound for bonding, and we know that babies, that's one of the first sounds that babies make in the breast.
Mm-hmm.
When they're
eating. The tone or the year of Om, people chanting Om, which
yes,
is O-N-D-M.
Exactly. That M is there when you're chanting Om. And it was also there, if I can find it quickly, in the Egypt chapter, that M sound also relates to the nasal cavity. And the same word for sacred also means hidden, and it's a word that vibrates with that M sound, the M and the N. So that's what I found in common.
Mm-hmm.
And, the question about what is unique is so broad. I mean, there's chapter after chapter about what is unique. to each culture.
What surprised you?
What surprised me? What surprised me? Let's see. You have to remember it's midnight where I am.
Okay.
So maybe I'm not in my clearest
mode
here.
Let me just mention, if anyone just joined us, we have Susan Hale here, sacred singer, who has written a book, Sacred Sound, Sacred Places. Susan, when you've studied the cultures and you, I'm sure, know many chants and the sacred sounds and their meaning, but when you actually go into a cavernous space, do you intentionally bring one of these out that you cognize and know, or do you do free channeled toning?
I mostly do free channeled toning, which means that what I do is I show up, I ask permission from the space, the guardians of the space, and I listen, and I intone what I hear. And that's been the most powerful for me. I have, when I was in Egypt, I was part of John Anthony West's group, and I was able to lead some toning for that. We had very brief amount of time in each place. So sometimes there I would, for example, being in the Red Pyramid, in Dashur, it looks like the nasal cavity. So I had this quick intuitive hit, like, okay, make some nasal sounds here. You know, find the prime resonant frequency by making a glissando and listening to the sound that's most resonant, and then inviting the group to do that and doing that those sounds on an M and an N. And that was very powerful, but I've always found that it's far more powerful to really listen to the space.
Yes, and to meet it. Now, some people say that it is the frequencies of our body and your unique signature essence that needs to be carried and to partake in a sound interchange at that particular sacred site. Other people say that it's the frequencies and the resonances of that sacred space that you are incorporating into your being that then you need to then take to other places. Do you think it's either or both?
I think it's actually both. And I think it's probably more than that, because this whole world is so vast and so mysterious. And even after researching and spending 11 years of my life doing this and talking with a lot of experts in the field, we're just beginning to scratch the surface of what the ancients knew. Mm-hmm. We're beginning to remember. We're beginning to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're beginning to create relationship through our voices to these spaces and then come back and say, what happened to you? Oh, wow. This happened to me, too. But one thing about the surprising that I found was that in the sarcophagus and the King's Chamber and the Great Pyramid, many people independently have told me, without knowing, thinking that maybe they're the only ones, that have had an experience intoning in the sarcophagus and having the ceiling completely disappear and seeing stars.
Yes.
So I've probably been told that story now by about 6 or 7 people.
Mm-hmm.
And
now,
so there's something there. There's something very real about
that. The configuration of the room, the combined ancient and present intention for that to happen. What's your own idea? I know there's many theories there.
Well, I think that yes, our intention is very powerful. So when we set an intention to sing in a sacred space. But I think that there are things within that space that are coded and reveal themselves to us when we show up with our intention to create relationship with that space.
Which brings up a good point. I find that many singers like yourself, and myself included, there seems to be a particular sequence that spirit sends us to these sites, so it's in a succession.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a haphazard thing. Mm-hmm. In fact, they say when the goddess first goes to remember herself, she generally goes to Hawaii, into the volcano area of the large island. What was your progression? Were you cognizant that there was a spiritually divine plan for your trip?
Yes, I think there was. I mean, as I said, my progression first was Chartres. That's where I began my trip. From there, I was able to get into the prehistoric cave of Lascaux, which is closed. And at the time, they were letting in 5 people a week.
Oh,
I had written at least a year ahead.
Can you describe that for us?
Lascaux?
What did the caves look like inside?
Oh, it's like being inside the body of the mother. It is this gorgeous golden space that is painted in yellow ochre, red ochre, black iron oxide. The pigments, even after thousands and thousands of years, are still so vivid. And you know that you are in a time away from time.
Mm-hmm.
You're back in the earliest time.
And what were those images? What were they depicting?
They're depicting bowls. There's a gallery called the Great Bowl Gallery.
Music bowls?
Bowls with horns.
Oh, bowls.
Bowls. And some of these bowls have dots, 7 dots in their face that represent the Pleiades. And then there are also reindeer and horses. And one of the surprising things also that I found out, I didn't know this at the time, I found out after I sang that there was research done to show that the animals are painted in the most resonant part of the cave.
Interesting. I've heard that they were actually ancient. There's pictures of ancient civilizations as far back as 35,000 years of women's pagan ritualistic using music and the astrology or stars.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find any of
that? I didn't see any of that. I've been to Lascaux. I also was at several other prehistoric caves near Lascaux, Font de Gaume, and Camberel. And then on this trip, I went to the Grotte de Néol.
Yes.
And these are all depicting ibex and oryx and rhinoceroses and as I said, bulls and reindeer. So my progression was Chartres to prehistory.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was guided to go to England to follow some of the Michael and Mary lines. And the Michael lines go to high towers dedicated to Archangel Michael.
Oh,
and the Mary lines go to holy wells dedicated to Mary and Mary Magdalene as well as Virgin Mary. There's chapels. And I wrote a song about that.
Oh, can you sing that?
Would you like to hear that?
Yes.
Okay.
Be beautiful.
All right.
Thank you.
Oh, won't you go weaving with Michael and Mary? Oh, won't you go weaving the high and the low? Oh, won't you go weaving with Michael and Mary, weaving the heavens with the deep wells below to what's hidden below? Oh, Mary, your waters, they call me. Oh, water, my spirit, parched and so dry. Oh, Michael, your towers, they call me. Uplift my soul to your places on high, to your places on high. Oh, won't you go weaving with Michael and Mary? Oh, won't you go weaving the high and the low? Oh, won't you go weaving? with Michael and Mary, we've in the heavens with the deep wells below, to what's hidden below, to the waters below.
Ah, Susan, that was more than lovely, darling. Oh, my lassie, beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, I love it, that beautiful Celtic lilt. I could just feel your
It felt like that melody came directly from the land.
Mm-hmm.
From the rolling hills in England.
I could just see the rolling hills while you're singing that.
Yeah. So my progression next was to go there, to go to Avebury, mm-hmm. where the Michael and Mary lines meet. And West Kennet Long Barrow, where they also meet. And Glastonbury, Chalice Well Gardens, and Glastonbury Abbey and the Tor. So the Michael and Mary lines are weaving in and out of these places where the sacred marriage is taking place.
Now, those are European roots. I saw you've been in India doing some research there.
I haven't been to India. No, I haven't. When I wrote about India, I was writing, actually, some from some research and talking with people, but I also was talking about my experience of getting darshan from Amma, who comes to Santa Fe, who has an ashram in Santa Fe, and receiving a mantra from Amma. And also talking about a woman with environmental illness who is one of Amma's devotees mm-hmm. and the work that I did with her around chanting the Thousand Names of the Divine Mother.
Mm-hmm.
It may help if you explain what darshan is.
Darshan is receiving a blessing from an enlightened being.
Okay.
And every person gives darshan differently. Amma gives darshan by giving you a hug. She's called the hugging saint.
Mm-hmm.
And she hugs 1,000 people at a sitting. And I also just received darshan from Mother Mira, who's another incarnation of the Divine Mother, who was in Edinburgh when I was there.
Ah.
And her darshan, her blessing, is given through gazing into her eyes.
Have you done any research in terms of Aboriginal singing for Australia?
Well, through the song lines, I was... actually, I've written another book called Song and Silence, Voicing the Soul. And the person who did the foreword to that book, John Stokes, talked about a story. He was with the poet Gary Snyder, and they were going through the outback, driving at probably 20 miles an hour, in a old pickup truck, and they were with an Australian, an Aboriginal man, who was singing very, very, very fast with his head out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time that they were driving this very long trip, this man was singing very, very, very fast. They did not stop him. They found out later that what he was doing was he was singing the song lines. He was singing the landscape.
Uh-huh.
And he was singing it at 20 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But normally, it would have been a couplet for every footstep. It would have been a very slow song, singing the features of the land.
That's a very beautiful thought. Susan, do you have any CDs out?
Well, I do have a CD called Circle the Earth with Song. It's a tape that I created a long time ago that I pressed onto a CD.
Mm-hmm.
And
how could people order that if they'd like to have that?
Well, they can go to my website and order it directly. Right now it's not up on my website, but you can go to my website, www.songkeeper.net, and you can find out information about my book, and you can email me and at susong@yahoo.com, and you can ask me to send you this CD of Circle the Earth with Song. And I'm hoping to create some new CDs, perhaps collaborations with people like you, Jan.
I would love that. Actually, I've been coming up with some ideas since you're singing in places we can travel. You know, Paul Hubbard and Randy Masters are taking a group to Egypt.
Yeah. The
end of April and beginning of May, and I'm thinking of going on to Israel, to the place where Mary Magdalene and Christ met there.
Mm.
So I would love to have you with me on that trip.
Well, thank you for that invitation. It actually might need to be another time, another place, another year. I'm still in moving mode to North Carolina, moving and settling.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to dream something up with you because we definitely are on the same path.
Mm-hmm.
We're following the Michael and Mary lines. We're following the Isis and Osiris.
Absolutely. The healing for our planet through the masculine and feminine and the awakening impulses of the divine feminine. We're taking a look at your website here. And I would like you to say that over again, especially your email, a little bit slower because some people just go to pick up the pen and it's gone.
Okay.
So give your website and your email very slowly.
www.songkeeper.net. That's songkeeper.net. And you can reach me. My email address is susong, S-U-S-O-N-G, @yahoo.com, or susanhale @songkeeper.net. Either of those work to reach me.
Are you going to do any appearances soon?
Well, I'm going to be doing some appearances in Atlanta, Georgia. There's an International Sound Healing Association I'll be speaking at in March. I have some new work that I'm just beginning to launch of working with grandmothers, helping grandmothers work with song and sound and story with the grandchildren.
That's very sweet.
And ritual and ceremony and the wisdom of the elders. What is it that we're wanting to pass on as grandmothers? I also say, have song, will travel. So if any of you listeners would like to bring me to your area to do work either with grandmothers, with voice, with my work on sacred space and sacred sound, I would love to be invited. And I'm going to be doing some things up in North Carolina as well. I'll be updating my website soon with newer things.
Susan, let's give the listeners the name of your book again.
Sacred Space, Sacred Sound, The Acoustic Mysteries of Holy Places by Quest Books, and with a foreword by Don Campbell.
Beautiful. Good. And can they order that off of your website as well?
Yes. There's a link directly to Quest.
Beautiful. We have about 5 minutes left. Would you like to close with another song?
Oh.
Read my mind.
Yes, okay. Here's the song that I created in Atlanta 8 months ago, and it's actually about this vision that I talked about of the Lady of Roses. Follow the Lady of Roses, follow her music. Follow the Lady of Roses. Follow the Green Man. Follow his music. Follow the Green Man. And I'd like to say that even though I've been telling you about my journeys, one of the reasons that I've written this book is to encourage you to follow your callings, to encourage you to trust your visions, and to encourage you to know that you have a unique gift to offer.
Very well said, Susan.
Yeah, I like that.
Thank you. Well, I guess we can let you go to bed now.
Yes,
it's
now
about
it's 12:44 in Peachtree City, Georgia.
People all around the world were listening in tonight, and I know that they loved hearing your words and your singing. And as you were singing, I could almost see roses coming from your mouth and butterflies flying around your head. It was so sweet and beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Jan. Well, I would love to keep in touch with you.
We will. We will, and hopefully we'll be seeing each other at the upcoming sound healing conferences. Hopefully.
Yes, I'll just say that. I will be at the sound healing conference in May in San Francisco through the Globe Institute, and I'll also be at a sound healing conference over Mother's Day in Los Angeles.
Wonderful. Good.
It was great meeting you online.
Thank you for being our interviewee this evening.
You're very welcome. It was my pleasure. Keep up the sound work.
Thank you.
Okay.
And good night.
Good night.
Bye, Susan.
Bye-bye.
Well, Matt, you're getting an earful about all these sound healing adventures, aren't you?
Well, everything is frequency.
Absolutely.
So it's just fascinating to see the way song and sound is created and revered around the planet.
Woven in so many different tapestries and colors and textures. It's very amazing. Speaking of which, let me do a little commercial here. The Globe Sound Healing Conference, which David called me today, I'm going to have a full speaker spot, 1 hour and 15 minutes, is January 26th and 28th. It's at the Woodlands Hill Marriott Hotel in Los Angeles. Some fabulous Dr. Jeffrey Thompson will be speaking, Scientific Sound Healing in the 21st Century. My dearest, dearest friend in the whole world, Randy Masters, will be talking about the Symphony of the Spheres. These are post-conference workshops, fabulous workshops with David Gibson, also Dr. Fred Bell. The keynote presenters will be Gary Schwartz, David Gibson, Don Estes, Randy, Dr. Jeffrey Thompson, and Richard Feather Anderson, Don Campbell, of course, Barbara Hero, Lisa Raffel, Sylvina Vergara. So we hope to see you there. Let me give you some contact information. soundhealingcenter.com/WSHC, which stands for World Sound Healing Conference. soundhealingcenter.com/WSHC. And if you'd like to join a wonderful group for sound healing to Egypt on April 26th with Paul Hubbard, Randy Masters, and I'll be along toning, you can give Paul a call at 512-891-7887. Your turn, Matt.
Well, for those of you that live close enough to drive to Sonoma County, we have a wonderful little music concert in the store. Ordinary Miracles is coming Sunday. It's actually a record release party for a group called Solid Air, which is Allegra Broughton and Sam Page. And Allegra's a really sweet and powerful singer, is one way I would put it, with a lot of heart and soul. And their friends, the Hot Frittatas, are going to join them. So we have two actual concert performances. 3 o'clock this coming Sunday, December the 16th, here in the store. And actually, Saturday night, if you like a cappella and traditional Renaissance Christmas songs, we have a 10-piece a cappella group called Capella. And they'll be performing for the community Saturday night, doing ancient songs and the traditional and the holiday spirit. And you can contact me if that's of interest to you. You can do matt@mattkramer.com and I'll give you all you need to know. And that's probably enough for now.
You know, Matt, wait. When I hear your voice, every time we do this show, it's so resonant and full, and I know you've been a disc jockey before, but I think you can really sing. Now, come on. I know you play guitar. He's smiling sheepishly. We are going to get you to sing one of these evenings. Right?
Sure.
Okay.
Anything you say, Jan.
No, we'll have a Matt and Jan duet. Well, thank you for joining us tonight. We hope that your season is filled with miracles. We are live from Ordinary Miracles. My website is musicforjoyandhealing.com.
My website is mattkramer.com. That'll keep you busy. There's lots to read there. And I've got calls out to a couple of musicians And I'm sure one will come through and be our guest next Wednesday night. I just don't know who yet. But tune in next Wednesday night. We are going to have some wonderful music for you.
Fabulous, fabulous musician guest. Thanks for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. And a special hello to Mark Hill, who listens to every one of our programs. We love you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Good night.
Night. Roll tape.
Oh,